Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC. And so most of these sermons are from me. Jamie said, we are wrapping up our series that we've been doing over the last 6 weeks on our core values. I have enjoyed this series. I hope it's been meaningful for you. As we remind ourselves who we are, but also who we're called to be. As I said last week, we're trying to live into and trying to be even more like the church that we say we are. And so we've been doing that. This morning, we're going to talk about generosity and talk about what it means to create a culture of generosity in this community of faith. We are, I would argue, an incredibly generous congregation made up of very generous individuals. But like in all things, we can do better. There's always room for improvement, both as individuals and as a congregation, a community of faith. We can indeed be even more like the church that we say we are. The text this morning that's going to get us into this topic is from Mark's Gospel. It's a story that's familiar to many. It's a story of a poor widow who was one day at the temple while Jesus is there. People are bringing their offerings and their tithes. And while many in the crowd give these large sums of money to the temple out of their abundance, this woman gives just a couple small coins. Hardly anything. But as you will hear, what matters to Jesus is that this woman put in everything that she had. All that she had to live on, the text says. The original Greek says, she put in her whole life. Somehow, she gets it right. And in so doing, her act becomes a teachable moment. It becomes a living parable and a reminder of who we are called to be.
From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 to 44, he, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God.
So if I'm going to preach a sermon on generosity, I need to begin with a confession. And I need to admit this before my family outs me on this. My wife and my children will tell you that I don't like to share my food. That if we go out to dinner or at a restaurant or even sitting around the dinner table, if someone reaches over and tries to steal a French fry or a Brussels sprout, I don't like it very much. They've also learned that if they're going to do it, they better be quick because they might be stabbed right there with a fork right there. I don't like to share my food. It's not something that I'm proud of. It's not my best side, but I acknowledge it and I admit it. But yet, despite that, I believe that deep down inside, all of us, including myself, we really want to be generous. And I believe that being generous is one of life's great privileges. Now, when we talk about generosity, what is it that we're talking about? Are we talking about generous, being generous, giving to other people so that we can receive more in return? So that we can earn more blessings for ourselves? No. When we talk about generosity, we're talking about freely giving with the expectation of nothing in return. But here's the thing. Even if we give of ourselves freely, even if we give of ourselves generously, and by the way, we're not just talking about money, and we're not just talking about French fries, whether we expect it or not, we do receive something in return. It just might not be what you expect. For one thing, studies show that generosity is good for our bodies. Generosity is a key factor in your physical, your emotional, your spiritual health. The research shows that people who are generous have less depression, have better health, they live longer, they experience more happiness in life, they live with a greater sense of gratitude. So many studies have shown that generosity is the source of longevity, of well-being, of overall better health. In fact, there's a field of researchers right now at the University of Notre Dame, and they've created an initiative, and they are looking at the science of generosity. They've decided to study generosity scientifically rather than philosophically or theologically. And one of the things that they have discovered as the result of all of this research, countless academics said this, that if Americans want to be happier, if Americans want to be healthier people who live with a greater sense of purpose, who suffer less depression, who enjoy more personal growth, they should learn to be more generous. Now, no doubt, you have heard the proverb, money can't buy happiness. And I think most of us would agree that that's true. But yet, Michael Norton, who's a Harvard professor, asked that question, do you believe that money can't buy happiness? And now this is a group of MBA students at Harvard. And almost all of them almost said unanimously, yes, of course that's true. Money can't buy happiness. And Dr. Norton says, well, that's where you're wrong. And if you think that, he says, you're just not spending it right. And then he talked about an experiment that he did earlier in his career with college students at the University of British Columbia. And what he did is he collected all of these students, about 100, I think, and he split them into two groups, 50 of them on each side, and gave them all money, either $5 or $20, with the simple instruction that half of them were to buy something for themselves, to spend that money that day on themselves, and the other group were to spend that money that day on someone else. And it was the same amount, either $5 or $20. And what they would then do is go out and to report back what they did with that money and how it made them feel. Now, the half that used it on themselves, they told stories of how they used it. These were college students, so they bought makeup. One woman bought some earrings. A number of students talked about going to Starbucks. Now the other group, they used it on other people. Some of them reported making a charitable donation. A lot of them talked about giving a gift for someone else. Maybe it's a gift for their niece. Several folks talked about giving it to a homeless person. The overwhelming majority, though, went to Starbucks. I think it's interesting that both groups went to Starbucks. Apparently, when you give money to college students, it looks like coffee to them, and they run off to Starbucks as fast as you can go. It's the same purchase, just targeted at someone else. At the end of the day, they called them all back, and there was an overwhelming response, and that was that the people who spent the money on someone else got happier, where the people who spent the money on themselves, nothing happened. It didn't make them less happy. It just didn't do much for them. The other thing that they found is that the amount of money didn't matter. Whether you were given $5 to spend or given $20 to spend, it didn't matter. It didn't matter how much you spent. What mattered is that you spent it on someone else rather than yourself. And so what this study and countless others like it have said, that when you give money to other people, you feel happier than when you spend it on the things that you think you wanted. Which proves, he says, that money can buy happiness. You just have to know how to spend it. I mentioned a moment ago at the beginning that I don't like to share my food. I acknowledge I'm not proud of it. It's not my best side. And deep down inside, I really do want to be more generous. And not just with my food and not just with my money. I want to be more generous with my spirit. I want to be more generous with that woman like her coins, with all of me. Ultimately, I want to live a more generous life. And I suspect that I'm not alone. Ultimately, as I thought about it a lot this week, I want to say yes more. I just want to say yes more, and I assume that I'm not the only one, but yet I've noticed that all too often when asked for something, my initial response almost immediately, almost like a reflex, is to instinctually say, well, no, and then I'll think about it. My initial response is almost always no. My reflex is one of stinginess rather than generosity. Now, I wonder how much of that is a result of a mindset of scarcity versus abundance, but that's another sermon for another time. I suspect, and I know that I'm not alone in this, because there's a story about a man by the name of Sasha Dichter, who's a businessman in New York. And he takes the train into New York City from the suburb every day. And every day that he's on this train, in the middle of his commute, he is encountered by people that are asking for things, looking for change, just about anything. And what he noticed one day as he was getting on the train and someone asked him for some money, his immediate response was no. And then he just kept on walking by and got on the train. He realized, he knew in that moment, that it's not a smart thing to give to a beggar on the street. But the entire commute into the city, the more he thought about it, the more he realized that maybe he made a mistake. As he thought about it on the commute, that encounter at the station, he started to think that maybe his instinctual reflection, his initial response, was not the right one. Think about how many times every day someone asks you for something. Whether it's your child, or maybe it's someone on the street, or maybe it's a letter that you receive in the mail, or a phone call, that just about over and over you are asked for something almost repeatedly all day, every day. And if we say instinctually no all the time, those no's start to add up. It becomes a reflex, it becomes a habit. And pretty soon, if we're not careful, those no's become who we are. And so the next day, he decided that he was going to start what he called the generosity experiment. And he decided that for the next 30 days, he would say yes to everyone who asked him for anything. Every beggar on the street, every request that came in the mail. Some folks, when they found out about this, they criticized him and said, you know, that's not a smart thing to do. You should instead give it to the homeless shelter. But his response was, this is not about that. This, he says, this was about him. Because he wanted to stop saying no. He wanted to start saying yes. And what he came to realize, he said, is I'd been hiding behind what was smart instead of doing what was right. So to make this shift, he needed a new habit. And so he started to say yes to everyone, to practice being more generous in the same way that when he was teaching his children to say please and thank you, that it took repetition, it took practice. He had to keep reminding them. And so in the same way, he started to say yes over and over and over again. He said what happened almost immediately is that he started to feel like a more generous person. And over the course of those 30 days, he came to realize, he said, if I want the world to be more open, if I want the world to be more action-oriented, if I want the world to be more generous, then I need to be more open and action-oriented and generous. You see, he came to realize that he needed to be what he wanted to see in the world. When the task force that put together this list of core values, the ones that were articulating the foundation of who we are, who we wanted to be as a community of faith, one of the exercises that we did was to envision the type of person that we deeply admire, someone that we really admire, people who, when you see them, when you interact with them, you have this sense of, I want to be more like that person. There's something about them, and if we can just figure out what that is about them, articulate what that is, what we discovered is that a lot of those people that we wanted to be more like had this generous spirit about them. And even more than that, they had a contentment that comes with being generous. Do you know someone like that? My daughter Caroline has a nut allergy, and when she has any type of tree nut, she becomes violently ill. At our last church, there was a woman in our church by the name of Amy. And one Sunday, she noticed that Caroline was standing at the cookie table. Every Sunday, someone was assigned to bring cookies, and we set them out next to the coffee there in the coffee hour. And Caroline was looking, and all of the cookies that someone had brought had nuts on them. And Amy just sort of noticed that Caroline was looking there and had a disappointed look on her face. Amy didn't say anything at the moment, but the next Sunday, she showed up with a plate of cookies, and she came to Caroline and said, Caroline, these are just for you. I baked them myself yesterday. No nuts. Following Sunday, she brought the same thing. And the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that. And if there was ever a Sunday when she didn't have time on Saturday to bake a plate of cookies for Caroline, she would always stop at the donut store and bring her a donut. Now, what you need to know about Amy and her husband Jay is that they were not the wealthiest people in that congregation. Far from it. In fact, they struggled from time to time. But to be honest with you, I can think of no one that was more generous than them. And so when I think of people that I admire, people that I want to emulate, people whose faith I am envious of, I always think of Amy, who noticed a little girl's pain and went out of her way in this quiet way to bring some joy to her life, to make her feel included, if not special. Isn't that, in some ways, the lesson of the story that we just heard? That someone, the person who has, sometimes, the one who has the least is the one who will give the most. Think for just a moment about the most generous people in your life. Are they the richest? Maybe, but maybe not. Because I would say that ultimately generosity has a lot more to do with a person's values. Generosity has more to do with what's in their heart than what's in their bank account. Tony Campolo, who I talked about a couple of weeks ago, tells the story of walking down the street one day in the city, in the streets of Philadelphia. And as he was walking down the street, this homeless man came towards him, and he was one of those people that you can tell almost immediately lives on the streets. He was filthy, dirty, covered in soot from head to toe. He was the type of person that you could smell before you see. He had this huge beard, and there were bits of rotting food stuck in his beard. But yet, as he approached Tony, he held out a McDonald's cup that had coffee in it. He simply said to Tony, hey, mister, do you want some of my coffee? And Tony looked at this dirty and filthy man and said, you know, thanks, but that's okay. And he just kept walking by him. But after he was a few steps away, he thought much like the guy in the train station and came to realize that for some reason he'd made a mistake. He knew that he was doing the wrong thing, and so he turned around in that moment and he says, "You know what? You know what? I would like some of your coffee." And so he took some of the coffee and he sipped it and he gave it back to him with a smile. And then Tony said, "You know, you're being awfully generous today. How come you are so generous?" And this man looked at him and says, "Because the coffee was especially delicious today. And I think that when God gives you something good, you ought to share it with people." Tony was not expecting that. He was caught off guard, stunned a little bit, didn't know exactly how to respond. And so he just sort of says, "Can I give you anything?" And he was sort of expecting that the guy would ask for $5 or something. And the guy said, "No, thank you though," and kept right on walking. And then it was his turn to all of a sudden realize that he'd made a mistake. And so he stopped and he turned around and he said, "You know what? There is something that you can give me. Will you give me a hug?" And in that moment, Tony said, "I wished you would have asked for the $5. But then right there on the streets of Philadelphia, these two men put their arms around each other, Tony in his suit and tie, and him in his filthy rags. And Tony said in that moment, "I had this strange awareness that I wasn't hugging a homeless man. In that moment, I was hugging Jesus. I found Jesus in that ragged, generous man." You see, generosity is about more than giving money to a beggar. And it's about more than putting a tithe in the offering plate every Sunday. It's a way of life that Jesus invites us to. It's a way of life that Jesus calls us to. There is a direct correlation between our faith and being generous, not just towards God, but in the way in which we interact, the way that we treat each other. You see, as people of faith, it's meant to be a way of life. And I think that's why Jesus highlights that poor woman's example, this woman who gave her whole life, because when you think about it, Jesus was forever calling people to give their whole life to God. It was central to his understanding, central to his vision of discipleship. You see, part of being a follower of Jesus is that we are called to be generous with everything that God has entrusted us with, entrusted to us. And some of that is money, and more of it is that which is harder to value and measure. Things like love and grace, compassion, gratitude. And so, church, may we be generous with all these incredible gifts. And may we remember that we are agents of grace, that we are on a journey that makes known the generosity of God as we practice our own generosity in the way in which we live, the way in which we move, and the way in which we have our being.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.